Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
Third and final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, sponsored by First Horizon. Big bank, muscle, small bank, hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. We are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. And we're going to do a little giveaway, Nick Kieser. How about caller five? Athletes Unlimited, a family four-pack of tickets to the Athletes Unlimited professional basketball games at Nashville Municipal Auditorium. On Saturday, tip-off is at 5. See star players like Alicia Clark, Sydney Colson, Lexi Brown, Jordan Horson, Isabel Harrison, and more. Caller 5. And we are going to get into the Titans and the offensive line and the draft and the coaching. A lot of aspects of it. I did want to get some quick reactions here on the Cowboys rant that you had. Josh from Lebanon says, as a Cowboys fan who's lived in Middle Tennessee my entire life, I'm in my early 40s. All I do is shake my head. When I hear Jerry Jones, the players make comments like this. They're so far from a championship, most of the fans know it. But inside that building, they don't. Keith says, the Cowboys are winning the Super Bowl next year, and Sydney Sweeney is my girlfriend. So there you go. Let's talk offensive line, PK. We talked with Nick Baumgartner earlier. He went through the prospects. If the Titans trade down now – if they trade down and they can get one of the two guys that we're going to keep debating for weeks and weeks, that's different. But it is possible that they trade down a little further. We've talked about, what are the Jets are 7? Is that right?
7.
Jets are 7. And we've talked about even going down to, you're talking, you better bring a whole bunch to the table. But, like, if the Steelers are in love with Cam Ward, from 21, it's a big drop. But what's the compensation? How many picks are we talking about? How many significant picks are we talking about? All of which is to say that they could be in a situation here, as much as they need an edge, and there are good edges, they could be in a situation here where the top player on their board where they're picking is an offensive lineman. First of all, just – when I say that, what comes to mind for you? How many Titans fans are recoiling at the very thought?
I just you can't go into it necessarily thinking about like marketing and all of that kind of stuff, but this team needs some faces.
But see, I think that mindset is how you lose in football, man. Like, you got to have a good football team and win.
You have to have a good football team and win. But there are edges and receivers and best players available who aren't offensive linemen.
But what if the best person on your board is an offensive lineman? Well, then you go with the board. You don't go with the board?
Yeah, you go with the board.
Okay.
But the board's probably going to have two players that are pretty even, and hopefully one of them's not an offensive lineman. I mean,
but their offensive line is terrible.
Yes, it's terrible.
They need to address their terrible offensive line.
Well, there are ways to address your terrible offensive line by finding offensive linemen in the second round and by finding offensive linemen in the fourth round even.
You could.
Teams do it.
They do.
Teams build offensive line without three first-round offensive linemen in three consecutive years. You really suck at identifying offensive line talent if you need to draft offensive linemen at left tackle, left guard, and right tackle in consecutive years.
Right, but these are different people. These are not the people who are making the choices
it's
now.
It's fine that they're different people. They're inheriting picks that they like. They don't hate Skoronski at left guard. Brinker was there for Latham. You can't say, well, the last two regimes drafted first-round offensive linemen, but that means that our drafting a first-round offensive lineman doesn't mean the franchise has drafted three offensive linemen in a row in the first round. I mean, that's too much value at one spot. While you've not drafted an edge – you've drafted an edge in the first round twice in the history of your franchise. and not since 2010, you've got to find other ways to make it work. So maybe there's one slapping you in the face there at 22 if you've traded down all the way down there. But it's ridiculous to draft the same position 3 years in a row, the same unit 3 years in a row. Yes, you have to get good there, but you also have to strategize how to get good there without using your top resource there 3 years in a row.
Maybe. By the way, right behind you on the TV was debating whether it's the Colts or the Titans for Aaron Rodgers. So that's the – which one is it, Colts or Titans for Aaron Rodgers? So that's interesting. Adam in Portland on the phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. You want to talk line convo. What's up, Adam?
Well, I dislike Aaron Rodgers, so, yeah, bring him here. So, put him behind that line, and it'll pay him back for all his weirdo behaviors, man. No, hey, it's the same thing. Sam Darnold, man, I don't trust Sam Darnold to come here and get behind this offensive line. And I feel like if we were to draft one of the rookies, Cam Ward or Deion's kid, that he's going to look like Malik. Or like rookie vets, I think, would be the best. But he'll end up looking like Malik because they have no opportunity behind that offensive line. It was so bad. Even the when you would start seeing progress from Latham, it wasn't sustained. Skoronski, I still don't even know if he's a good player or not. I hope he is. But, like, there's zero continuity. So it doesn't matter who you put at quarterback, dude. Like, the line should be the big money you spend in free agency. Like, well, that should be.
Yeah, you're finally starting to acknowledge that next year's line isn't going to be this year's line. You have to allow for change. I'm advocating for them not to spend a first-round pick on it. But there's going to be a new right tackle and a new right guard.
But think about the 99 team, though, PK. Like, the one conf – like, I don't – when I think about the skill players in 99, they weren't great. Like, I know we have a couple of them around here, and we're like, they were awesome players in our heart, but they weren't – Torrey Holt, Isaac Bruce, they were that level of bust, but the line was always elite, and like we are so far from that level of offensive line. So I'm just so depressed. I'm trying to think of where you pick yourself up, and I don't really know, dude, because we're so busted.
Well, look, I'm not a fan of this team, and I'm not giving them the benefit of the doubt on much, but the idea that the offensive line can't get better, I mean, you have to allow for the possibility that they could get better. People have rebuilt offensive lines. Now, there's not a lot of reason to have faith in this team because it keeps failing to rebuild the offensive line, but you have a new player picker in Borgonzi. You have Bill Callahan, who overestimated some people last year, who I think recalibrates now what he needs to have success. I would say that next year's offensive line is going to have significantly better options than last year's offensive line had.
I just don't I don't know how you could just dismiss the idea of taking an offensive lineman in the first round. If it's the best player, if you believe it's the best player available to you, we can all agree that I understand the history, but however you got to this spot, you're in this spot with a terrible offensive line. And we can talk about the Eagles pass rush and it was great and you want that. We can also talk about how the Chiefs' offensive line failed them.
Yes.
And we can talk about how the Eagles' offensive line is not getting enough love right now for why they won it all.
I don't think they're trading back far enough to make this scenario viable.
Maybe not. But again, we've been talking this week about which dumb teams, right, are gonna get in there. It's conceivable that they end up hedging. You know, it's conceivable that the dumb team happens to be lower in the draft and that they're dumb enough to give a bleep ton to you. In which case, I think that, you know, again, I think that's – then you get in the conversation of, okay, look at all these picks, all the need we have to fix so many things, and look how much more we can do collectively. And then you're comparing that to this player or that player. Are we talking generational player?
Yeah.
If so, you have to take the player.
Well, the question then is, and this, you know, started a good ways ago when I was subbing in here and we talked to Charles Robinson. And I think there is some level of consensus. You know, now this comes from scouts trickling through analysts, that there aren't that many first-round picks in this draft. There certainly aren't 32.
First-round grades.
Yeah, first-round grades.
Yeah.
And so if the Titans have 12, they need to get one of those 12 players. So if you're going to 22, then you're conceding, hey, we're loading up on second rounders this year, some of whom are going to be drafted in the first round and make first round money. And I don't know if that's the best path. I like the idea of them loading up on picks, but I think if they have 12 first round picks, they've got to get one of the 12 first round players.
Okay. I have an argument against that. We'll get to that coming up next. Robbie and Rexro, 1025-1063 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexro. Talking O-line, talking draft, talking, and I wanna get into Bill Callahan too, PK, but all right, I gotta yell at this texter here. Andrew says, this obsession with more picks is so overblown. You can have 15 picks and get one great player. You can also have a program-changing draft with only 5 or 6 picks. If your scouts and process sucks, the number of picks doesn't matter unless you're hoping for blind luck. Let's do math, Andrew. Go back and I'll draw it up. Let's go back and look at some Eagles drafts, okay? There are some terrible picks in there for some terrible picks, including Andre Dillard. It's math. Yes, obviously your process, you have to make good choices. You need a lot more hits than misses and all that stuff. But if you have more picks, then the math says you can absorb a bust or two and be fine. You want more picks. And here's my argument against you, PK.
Whatever your hit rate is, if you have more picks, there are more hits.
Yes. We got to go with probabilities here, okay? And so it's not overblown and it's not dumb. It's smart. And here's where I would argue with you, PK. I hear what you're saying on a first-round grade. You need to get one of those players with a first-round grade. But, yeah, this is where, to me, it's like, okay, so tell me the difference in value. Because if you have – I know some teams have said, like, okay, from, like, 20 to 50, it's similar level of player. Well, those are players who start and can be very – and if you can get 4 of them, how much more is the value of – yes, I'd rather have a first-round grade player too, but how much more is the value of that player, how much better is that player than that level, the next level down? You know what I mean? I don't have the answer, but I feel like second-round grade players in this league start, and in many cases, star in the NFL. So you know, that's what – now, if we're talking absolute top of the draft – again, is Abdul Carter a star for many years? Is Travis Hunter what I think he is at cornerback? Then that's a different level, too, than just the first-round grade player, right?
Yes.
So,
but I will take you back. This is a year ago at owners' meetings, and I wrote a story, where the Titans stand on one blue chip versus 2 very good players.
Okay. All right.
So I've got Chad Brinker and then Rand Carthon, who's not relevant any longer on that. Brinker, you're always wanting to add impact players whenever you can. I think you go for the blue chip, the guy who changes the game.
Yeah. But that to me is that's the Abdul Carter level.
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about. Okay, so the 12th guy of the 12 first round grade. You know, that's where it gets into
how much has
the value gone down there? How different is it from the next tier, the top of the next tier? You know, I'm a believer in.
Oh, that's a fair conversation.
Like Brinker said, I mean, he's talking top 100 picks. I'm a believer in if you're in that, if you have a lot of bites at the apple in that range. Again, you have to be good. You have to scout well. You have to make good choices. But I think that you can really make a big difference for your team if you're doing that. We have Dylan on the phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHigh.com with an O-line thought. What's up, Dylan?
Hey, guys. I'm a little torn about which way we go, like with either your side or Paul. But I know at least that the first round that we've drafted, you know, offensive linemen, it still hasn't quite worked out yet. So I'm really not sure I want to go that route. I feel like I just want to go with the best player that we can get and, you know, just acknowledge that we can build an offensive line, like Paul said, even if we don't draft offensive linemen in the first round. I want to get the best players that we can get, not, you know, difference makers. Although I see the other side where, you know, we had the first overall pick and, you know, we traded it and we got Derrick Henry out of that. So, I mean, both ways could work out, but I feel like Paul's way, I feel like it's the best way, in my opinion. But I'll see what y'all's thoughts are on that, and I'll get off here.
Thank you, Dylan. Paul's way is the best way. Boy, that's, those words hurt. So I just I understand the history. I understand the marketing aspect. I just, to me, like, that is, that's a great way to stay bad as a football team, is to worry about stuff like that. I'm a believer in the big board. And frankly, the Titans, horizontally and vertically, the offensive a great offensive lineman is a huge asset. You know, now again, we don't know what they're going to do in free agency, and so maybe they do enough to address it that then the need aspect of it is diminished by the time they get to the draft. But I just don't see how you can, because it's been so bad. And it, remember, like LD from McMinnville said, well, Brinker was here for the drafting of offensive linemen. Right. Skoronski, who is at least a starter. I don't know. You tell me how good Skoronski is. But he's at least a starter. It's not like, it's not the disaster. I think Skoronski's
going to be a plus guard.
Okay.
Better than starter. He's not worth the draft pick they got him at.
Right. But, I mean, you tell me that he's a good player in starting, and, like, you're actually, you might give him the second deal?
Yeah.
Fine. Latham, it's just, it's way too early. He has to work out. He has to hit. But so those two picks, they are not, that is not the same as the three-year run of Isaiah Wilson first round, Dylan Radin second round, Nicholas Petit for a third round. That's a hell of a run. That's the run.
That's why they are where they are.
Right. That's why they are where they are. I'm just saying, first of all, those were different people who made those choices. And I look, man, you've got to, like, a great young tackle. Again, you hope Latham turns into that. But to me, if you can find another one, yeah, I'm with you. It's great if you love someone and like, you've got 30 players that are similar in grade and you can get a second-round tackle. Okay, I'm with you. That would be good. I just don't see how you dismiss out of hand that you come upon the best player that you see available and it happens to be a tackle.
Well, I don't dismiss it out of hand. It's very much not my preferred path.
Yeah. I get it.
I mean, they've been addressing offensive line. They have to fix offensive line. But while they've been addressing offensive line, with the three guys you mentioned, Wilson, Radins, Petit Frere, Skoronski, Latham, that is massive draft capital. And while they've been doing that, they haven't touched edge rusher with anything of value. There are other positions.
Well, they signed Bud Dupree, right?
Right.
I mean, so to go with the second-round pick.
But young Harold draft Landry. Capital, right. Who are going to be guys that grow up in your system, you know. I'm not saying you need to take a safety in the first two rounds, but where's Amani Hooker? Where's Kevin Byard's successor in all of that? Things like that happen for good teams.
Third round would be
They've
nice.
Been busy burning
yeah.
on offensive linemen.
Yeah. No, for sure. That's why they are where they are. You can make a case for a lot of positions. And again, this is why if they're able to increase the number, yes, that's not overblown. That is that,
and John Robinson, I remember
valuable.
Asking him about this chasing. And he said, offensive line is it's five people. It's an important position, and we're going to keep spending on it. He wasn't shy about doing it. Now, he wasn't shy about big misses there either after Conklin.
Right. But, I mean, that's they decided not to pay him.
Didn't think that was unreasonable.
No.
Injury history and stuff, and you can't pay Lawan and Conklin. The problem was missing and the replacement. The problem wasn't letting him go.
Right. Like, in retrospect, you're like, man, what if they had just kept Conklin? And, yeah, it would have been better, but I'm with you. He suffered some injuries up there.
He had another all-pro season or two up there, too. But
then he's been banged up a lot. No, but again, the Titans' turnaround immediately under John Robinson was getting a leader and tough, good center in free agency for not a ton of money. And then, taking a right tackle, number eight. And then having a legit, like, first round, like, Pro Bowl level left tackle who finally got removed his head from nether regions, right? Basically. Yeah. I mean, that's with a fair way to.
Which was left behind for you.
Right.
I mean,
right.
You inherited, allegedly a top quarterback who you had to let play out in Marcus, and you inherited Lawan, who was Rustin Webster's single best move.
Yeah,
so I drafted him a year ahead of needing him.
But the reason that you won that year more than anything to me was because you all of a sudden were good up front, and you had DeMarco Murray running the football behind that offensive line.
Yeah.
So, and you know, so maybe they should get it back. No, just kidding. We are going to get into the guy who runs this offensive line, though, because I think it's a huge year for him. Robbie and Rex Show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, sponsored by First Horizon. Big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. And a lot of reaction here, PK, as you might imagine. You know, I got to go to the – I forget the YouTube chat, and then who knows what the heck they're talking about over there. There's a lot of stuff going on there.
You have to remember not to forget.
Yes, I know. I'm getting there. I do appreciate Jabari on the YouTube chat saying PK wants the injury version of Garrett 30 plus. Yeah, I'm a little bit buyer, but he's great right now. No doubt. He's great. Dixie says if the Titans sign Trey Smith $20 million to $20 million after the Super Bowl performance, just forfeit the season. Trey Smith did get humbled in that Super Bowl. The Chiefs did in general. I will say it was a heck of a tough matchup though. Trey Smith, I'm not against Trey Smith being a target of the Titans. I think he would certainly be. I mean, you're talking about an upgrade over Dylan Raidens or Daniel Brunskill or whoever else they've tried to play at right guard. You would solidify right guard. So I don't know what the number is exactly, but I'm not opposed to that.
It's a big number. Here's the comment that drives me crazy. Richard Snyder, who's good. At some point, Daddy Callahan has to get fourth-round guys to play like second-round guys. At some point. We've been waiting years and years for Daddy Callahan to get it produced. I mean, he got off to a bad start. He overestimated talent and guys underachieved. But at some point, I mean, I'm making it sound like Bill Callahan hasn't gotten it done for a year.
Right. Well, yeah.
I mean, he had a bad year.
But this is like the Titans fan. I'm with you, except this is like the Titans fan misery of looking around the league and saying, oh, wow, look at that guy. Now that he's not here, look how well he's doing with that team. Look at this guy and how well he's doing with this team. Why can't – and then Bill Callahan is the greatest offensive line coach of all time and comes in here and it's like, oh, the offensive line continues to suck. You know, well, I get the frustration.
Yeah,
of course you're,
but don't
of
make it sound
right.
Like it's he hasn't done things for years and years and years. And don't make it sound like the Titans can never win or have never won. It was just a few years ago they were the number one seed in the AFC. They can win.
That is true.
It's been done. By the way, last time they won three games, the next year they won nine games.
That is true, too.
Now, I'm not expecting any of this. I'm as down on them as I've ever been. But you have to put the facts in evidence.
Yeah. Now, with Bill Callahan, it is interesting because, first of all, look, one of the reasons that I mistakenly – thought Nicholas Petitfair would be okay at right tackle. I think you were right with me. Is I trusted his evaluation, right?
Yes.
Went through all the tape. So those guys talked about the combine last year is how just watching the guy watch tape was mesmerizing. Listening to him break down his evaluation of tape is like, oh, you guys should have heard it. You should have seen it, you know.
But so, 1 year is a tiny sample size.
It is a tiny sample size. But also, I mean, people lose their fastball, right?
Yes.
That does happen. So When you look at the totality of his first year, we can all agree bad offensive line. We can certainly agree bad evaluation on Petitfrere. What did you see that you liked?
Well, I think Skoronski steadily got better and did a good job of it kind of explaining that, you know, maybe why the pace wasn't as fast as we wanted and why it wasn't a magical transformation. And why things went the way it did. I certainly think losing Cushenberry halfway through, and I don't want to make excuses for them, but Cushenberry, everybody was looking to as the leader of that offensive line. We saw what Ben Jones did for the team when he came in. I'm not saying Cushenberry and Ben Jones are alike necessarily, but when you're looking for the center to be the linchpin of the line and you lose him halfway through, when he was starting to maybe, you know, get into sync with Callahan. That was another bomb that blew up. So, look, I'm not positive Latham's a left tackle and going to be good because he drifted and didn't get steadily better. He faded, which was a concern. But there's a scenario where he's better, Skoronski's better, Cushenberry's healthy and better, and they find two fixes and the line is substantially better. That's what they're counting on. Do I believe that happens? I'm saying consistently, I need to see things in practice before I'm buying them. But I think there's worst case scenarios than having Bill Callahan, those three guys, and resources to get the other two.
Texter says, if Callahan has to have first round or high money free agents at every position, we have far too much reverence for him. Stoutland making undrafted free agents into top 3 to 5 offensive linemen in the NFL. Jeff Stoutland, who, by the way, one of the best people, one of my favorite people I've ever covered in football, and he is a great – it's those two, right, have been regarded as the best two line coaches in the NFL. If Callahan's as good as we say, he should be able to get there with at least one not highly invested in player. I will say to the texter, like he did that – again, I know it's not helping your team, but he did that with Cleveland last year.
Yeah, the year before. Comes
the 2023. He has done that, so –
And now, I mean, you think his pride wasn't wounded by the performance of his group? I would think, much like his son, he comes out of that season thinking, I got to do way better.
Right.
I got to get better people, and I got to coach them up better, and we got to perform way better.
Andrew says, Bill Callahan was the biggest lie ever sold to Titans fans. I still laugh my ass off thinking of the silly reports like, Bill Callahan had training equipment out there, custom-made, that we have never seen before. Just laughable after watching that line suck more than the last 2 years. The biggest lie ever sold to Titans fans. It might be.
I mean, the
it might be a little extreme,
the
Andrew.
The recency bias is so crazy. I mean, Bishop Sankey was drafted by this team in the second round. You don't think that's a bigger lie? Or Justin Hunter and Doriel Green Beckham?
Chance Warmack,
Isaiah Wilson. I mean, we could just name terrible draft picks. They're all bigger lies than Bill Callahan.
Ken Wisenhunt? How about that? How about that as a lie sold to Titans?
Nobody wants to look at anything that's more than 2 years old.
Well, yeah. Look, it's disappointing. It's very disappointing because I definitely just expected there to be a bump. Absolutely. I expected there to be a clear uptick, and there wasn't. But yeah,
was better than the year before, wasn't it?
I mean,
just
Andrew
left tackle
says
alone.
Was,
Latham wasn't great, but he was better.
Definitely
than
better
Dillard.
Than Dillard. Yeah, definitely better than Dillard. Yes, but I guess right tackle might have been worse, right? I mean, that's the thing.
Yeah, right tackle was really bad. It was really bad the year before.
It's been bad for. I mean, this is, and again, this is to me. It's like you keep coming back to why you succeed or don't in the NFL. I mean, it's such an important thing. So, I don't know. You know, when you say two fixes, I guess I'd like to know how good those fixes are. Like, you have to have a tackle in this league. You have to have one tackle in this league where you can say there's a matchup against a good pass rusher and he can handle it. Like, and when's the last time the Titans have been able to do it? It's like it really is like
before Lawan
tore his ACL in 2020.
Yep.
It's been that long, and that's crazy.
And this is a team that, you know, had a chain of left tackles from Brad Hopkins, who dates back to Houston, to Michael Roos,
right,
to healthy Lawan.
There's a lineage.
It was a lineage position.
Yeah. Texter says, there's no way Bill Callahan's O-line was worse than you before. I would tend to agree. I do think it's close, though. I mean, overall, the overall – product was bad.
I mean, the improvement was nowhere near what was expected.
David says, don't you also think Levis didn't maneuver behind the line as well as some quarterbacks would, leading them to look worse than they really were? Some of it's on him, but I think we should give the offensive line credit for being awful.
The offensive line was awful, but there is a good share of quarterbacking to it. Quarterbacking, and I saw Mark Schlereth talking about this, quarterbacking is sacks are more and more a quarterback stat and a coaching stat, he said, where you're not calling stuff to get the ball out, fast enough when it's clear that your offensive line can't handle certain things, and where quarterbacks try to do too much. And I'm a believer in that. And when I covered the AFC South, I talked to Peyton Manning about it, and he was a believer in that. And I think your quarterback's got to be a certain level of good to prevent it, not just for drive sustaining and that sort of stuff, but for health preservation.
Yeah. Look, the Super Bowl to me, I mean, for the most part, the Chiefs were pretty helpless when you get beat that soundly up front.
But yeah, when you get beat that badly, it's not a quarterback.
But I thought that they could have gone earlier to the ball's got to be out, you know, more quick game stuff that they finally ended up going to.
Which they're good at.
Yeah.
And thrive at, and somehow they got away from.
All right, we come back. We will wrap it up. Robbie and Rex Show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Final segment, Robbie and Rex Show. And I just want to thank you, PK, for, you know, you got people screaming at me on Twitter or X or whatever the heck.
Oh, I thought you were just going to straight out thank me for being here, for all the rave reviews that are rolling in about this excellent show that we've done this morning. You could have just done that.
I mean, I could, but
you're not thankful at all.
Well, I'm thankful, but then, you know, you tweeted like headline, you know, joke.
I mean, we could get an intern in here for the next 2 days if you like. could struggle through.
No, relax. Yeah, you tweeted that I have Travis Hunter over Abdul Carter.
You did, and when I made you choose.
It's so close.
It's so funny. I mean, that's completely reasonable for you to do that. But because the vast majority have decided it's the other way, that's somehow controversial. It's not controversial.
Right.
But I knew when I sent that out that people would go crazy.
Yes.
It's not at all crazy, ladies and gentlemen, for Joe Rexroad to think that Travis Hunter is a better player than Abdul Carter at this stage. It's not crazy. Right. I'm on the other side of it, but I'm also probably really slanted because of the Titans' desperation at edge. But it's not an unreasonable stance. So if you're going at Joe over that, I mean, goodness gracious.
I got to read this guy. You know, the Titans' Twitter representative here, Zach, says, thank bleeping God Joe isn't the GM for the Titans. He said, you know, I love this narrative, man. He says, Hunter is not the best at either position. Why would we draft a guy, number one, that's not the top guy at the position he'll play? I said, he is absolutely the best cornerback in this draft. No, he's not better than Will Johnson. Right, right, right. Yeah. Okay, look. Are people going to
– Also, you project a little bit forward.
Yeah. And right? And people are using, like, the fact that he didn't win the Biletnikoff – or not the Biletnikoff, my God, what is the DB award? How am I blanking on that? He didn't win the
– You're the college football expert at The Athletic.
It's pretty bad. He didn't win the DB award. He won the high – and I'll tell you – this is what voters do, right? Like, they're going to vote him for Heisman or Maxwell, like the best player, and so they'll vote somebody else the DB winner.
It's like Thorpe, offensive player
Jim,
of the year.
Exactly. It's the Jim Thorpe Award.
MVP.
So people are using him, not using the Jim Thorpe Award at all. He's not even the top corner in the draft. We just talked today about how some people believe he's not just the best corner in this draft, the best corner in many drafts, a generational player. Will he be that? I don't know, but that is the conversation. That is the hope for him.
And so when Chad Brinker, by the way, talked in mid-January when Borgonzi was hired and said, we won't pass on a generational player, virtually everybody at that time was thinking, if he's talking about a potentially generational player, he was talking about Hunter.
Right. But maybe he was talking about Carter.
Maybe he was talking about Carter.
Maybe that, he was. That maybe he wasn't talking about anybody.
But yeah.
Maybe he was just saying – yeah, that in general.
Or player X.
Sure, yeah.
But that thinking has changed since then. In the moment, I think most of us thought, well, maybe they think that about Hunter. Since then, a lot of us have started to think, well, maybe he was talking about Carter. But at the time, when he said
Hunter is what came to mind for people, yes. So will
but
he be
now
generational?
It's scandalous that you would suggest that you would take Hunter.
And look, I get it. If I'm a Titans fan, I'm probably most excited, well, maybe quarterback, and that's fine. If you believe one of these guys is going to be great, then you can do that. But I think I would bet that most Titans fans would be most excited about Abdul Carter right now, especially after watching the Super Bowl and saying, well, see, here's another reminder. When you can just – the greatest quarterback of the current era of the NFL had no chance and looked like a bad quarterback because of the pass rush.
This is something we should expand into tomorrow. Like, say that they wind up loving Cam Ward I mean, it would certainly come out before the draft, but for how heavily, hell, people just reacted really badly to the idea of Travis Hunter, who's fantastic. People are so set. There's such a high percentage of people that want Abdul Carter that if they fall in love with Cam Ward and take him first, will there ever have been a fan base and a market more disappointed about a quarterback needy team taking a quarterback number one overall in the draft? That's a really good conversation that we could have tomorrow.
That is a really interesting conversation. I mean, I immediately want to look at the number one because I feel like in almost every case, it's like, of course, yes.
This is our guy.
Baker.
We're going to paint the pretty face on him. Akili Smith.
Was he number one? Was he
I think so.
I thought he was like number four. Wasn't that the year that Couch went number one?
Kajana Carter, maybe. Or Tim Couch. Couch.
I mean, the Browns are all the Browns
all over
are
this conversation.
In this,
But we could look at the excitement level for all of these quarterbacks. Everybody gets hopeful about the number one pick, and if it's a quarterback, you're imagining him transforming your franchise. Will this fan base shift into that mode with Cam Ward, or will they be saying, oh, should have been Abdul Carter?
That's a great question. We will get into that tomorrow.
That's a great question.
Good job.
He's thanking me
so much
being here.
Thank you
so much.
Don't
block the box, and be sure to lock your locks.
Chase and Big Joe coming up next. 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
What's up, Oos? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.